the nose here on your community radio station. And on Monday mornings, here at this time, that means we check in live on the telephone with R.W. Estella. Good morning, R.W.
Hey, good morning, Allison. Last week's edition of A Word in Edgewise ended by briefly mentioning that airline travel tends to be an exercise in survival of the fittest. When we dashed from one concourse to another at Philadelphia's airport to meet our connecting flight a little over a week ago, my girlfriend and I did so while countless others were doing the same thing to cope with the tight schedules that the airline companies seem to think human beings are capable of. What I noticed, however, was that the number of people over the age of, say, 65 who were scurrying to and fro was definitely a small number, simply because rushing about the concourses demands more from an individual than an elderly person is usually capable of giving. This set me to wondering about the kinds of things that we as social beings actually do for one another that does not involve a survival of the fittest sort of approach, and how we nevertheless do not, by and large, support those sorts of approaches, even when we have put them in place. I am thinking especially of crosswalks. Relatively early on in our driver education, whether or not we take a formal class for it in high school or at a driving school, we are taught that a pedestrian always has the right of way. Yet, how often do we ignore a pedestrian standing in a crosswalk? Even more so, adding a special hazard or warning marker planted in the crosswalk doesn't always make drivers put on the brakes to allow a pedestrian to cross. Are we by nature chaotic beings? Do we yearn for peace and quiet because we are hopelessly prone to behave just the opposite? Now and then at the Bangor Public Library New Arrivals Room, I managed to find a marvelous recent biography about a long-since-gone famous figure. This month, it's a volume by British scholar Catherine Frank, whose 2012 work, Crusoe, Daniel Defoe, Robert Knox, and the Creation of a Myth, continues to please me. I'm about halfway through the work, and what has become increasingly clear to me is that Daniel Defoe lived one heck of a rugged life. One of my favorite set of sayings from Defoe for a few decades now has been his "necessity makes an honest man a knave," coupled with his "but the crime is in the cause of that necessity." When I first began studying Defoe nearly 40 years ago, I became acquainted with his propensity to agitate the social powers that be. But it wasn't until Catherine Frank's detailed account that I became aware how much trouble Defoe was constantly getting himself into. When he wrote novels such as Robinson Crusoe and Moll Flanders, Defoe spoke from experience. He had learned throughout his life about the intimate workings of survival of the fittest, long before Charles Darwin coined the expression. Mostly, Defoe is filled with optimism. His notions are all about the power of positive thinking, despite the throes of adversity that are naturally a part of life in general. For more on Omain, have a great day.
Destry was born in a circle of the sun.